It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. We roll through the latest news on the Bulls from the viewpoint of the man who oversees the program. Presented by Tampa General Hospital. We hope you're ready because it's time to go full speed ahead. Now with Michael Kelly, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
One final time for this calendar, at least sports calendar year with Michael Kelly, as we have a couple special guests. I'm going to quickly get out of this chair and let a couple bigger names sit in it. But until we get to that point, sir, this is our last time to mention, kind of in summation, what happened this spring. It was great to broadcast, you know, everywhere I turned, some sort of conference title and NCAA tournament game. But what was it like taking it all in as the, sort of the overseer? It must have been an incredible spring for you.
It was an incredible spring, and obviously I want to thank all of our student-athletes and our staff first and foremost, because it's been an amazingly challenging year in general for the entire world, and certainly hit hard here. So I know how hard our student-athletes had to compete under tough circumstances. I know how hard our staff had to work double time with maybe reduced staffs and all that sort of thing. So that almost makes a lot of success we had that much more sweet because of how hard people had to work, and I hope everyone that contributed that feels that and knows that this has been a special year that none of us will ever forget. But having said that, I mean, looking back, we had an all-staff meeting back on January the 4th, where the only play we could do it was to spread out throughout the entire Yangling Center with masks on. And yeah, it was kind of a way for me to come back and say, all right, you know we've got to continue to battle through this pandemic year and do it safely and do it special. But we also knew every sport but football had yet to play their season and was ready to play their season, and we talked about at that point in time, hey, let's find a way to not only survive this but to thrive, and to we have a good chance to have some success, and let's believe in each other and celebrate each other as we have accomplishments. And wow, did people take that to heed, because to see all these different conference championships, individual accomplishments, the list just goes on and on, and just couldn't be more proud. So I hope everyone associated with USF Athletics, internally and externally, just takes a whole lot of pride into what the Bulls did this year.
Wow, that was a very good all-staff meeting about 6 months ago, and I remember you had every single coach say something, and about half of those people have won a championship since.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, just dancing around from Gainesville for tennis in the NCAA tournament, and of course, with softball, baseball would head back there as well. Golf, of course, taking the whole thing in Brooksville. It's hard to pick one highlight. That's what you want, right, when you think, oh, what was, of course, baseball? We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes here, but it's hard to just say, okay, this was the one big moment, because there were a lot in the last month or so.
Oh, I know. Baseball and track became kind of the big moments, but they were just kind of the icing on the cake at the end of an amazing year, and I'm so glad that they had that success and people have really responded to that. But you're right, Derek. I mean, to have women's basketball kind of kick it off with the regular season and conference titles, women's soccer doing the same, to have men's golf, as you said, win a conference championship, softball didn't get the conference championship but go all the way to the final game of the regional in terms of going up to the Florida and having great success. Men's tennis beating Duke in the NCAA, as you mentioned, you were there. And
that was enjoyable.
So it's just such a great accomplishment by so many different programs, and ties the most ever for us, four teams winning conference titles, six trophies total. When you talk about historic years in a 55-year history of athletic program, all done in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, that should give everyone a real source of pride.
There's a lot of things that we're going to get to later on in the summer, and you're going to get to a couple of special head coaches here. But before we turn it over to Billy Mullen, Eric Jenkins, you'll be chatting with them. I want to mention the academic report that just came out as far as the grade point averages being tabulated. Loved so many parts of it. Football setting a record as far as members on the honor roll, that kind of thing. A lot of other off the field stuff to make you proud as well.
Absolutely. Almost 3 years to the day, I had an introductory press conference here when I was named athletic director, and we talked about the vision and the concept of building tradition one champion at a time. And I specifically mentioned champions in sport, which we've obviously talked about a moment ago about all the great success we've had this semester. But we talked about being champions in the classroom and champions in life as well. And to see all that kind of continue to be lived by and to be led up to is great. And on the academic side of being champions in the classroom, again, this is our record 13 straight semesters of 3.0 or more when you can take all of our student-athletes together at once, which is amazing. This semester we had a record of 288 of our student-athletes being on the honor roll. 13 of our programs logged a perfect single-year APR score. So, again, especially that's important. It will be even a harder accomplishment in years to come as the transfer rule kind of comes into effect. But the fact that that's still being lived up to is amazing. An 84% graduation success rate, which is the seventh straight year we've been over 82. Definitely living up to that concept of being champions in the classroom. So this is what we've got as the vision for, you know, USF Athletics. We're proud of our past. We're awfully proud of our present with these successes we're talking about now. But this is setting the foundation for what can be truly the best is yet to come, is what we always believe in. And we're setting the foundation for even greater success.
Well, there's more to get with you on in the summer, Mr. D1 Council. We'll wait for a future podcast for that, but let's move over for some special guests right now.
All right. Well, on today's Bull Speed Ahead podcast, we're kind of excited to bring our last episode of this athletic academic year that's been just a historic one in so many ways for here at USF Athletics. But two programs that brought it to a great close for us were our baseball program and our track program, and in today's episode we're going to be able to talk to both of our head coaches. But first up, we've got head baseball coach Billy Maul, whose team has gone through an amazing season in so many different ways, and I was able to spend a lot of time with him and the team at some of their closing games for the regular season when we beat ECU twice to get on a little bit of a roll, and then went on to a magical ride at the conference tournament in Clearwater, and then an even more magical ride in the NCAA tournament. So first off, Billy, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on such a great year.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, let's just talk about it. Let's hear it in your words. I mean, it was we were, you know, kind of a 500 team most of the year, just above, split pretty much every conference season, which is kind of what you expect. It's tough when you play a four-game series, so I knew that was a challenge, but you kept a positive attitude, kept the team together, and what happened and what seemed to click, and just kind of tell us your own words about that those last two games at ECU and how we headed on into the postseason.
You know, it was an incredible journey with these guys. The character and the makeup that we have on that team is something that is special, and that's why we did what we did. And that starts with Jake Sullivan as your captain. Riley Hogan is an older guy. You know, we weren't coming off success from last year, finishing the COVID-shortened season 6-11, but we were young. There's a lot of talent on the field. It was just going to take a little bit of time for that to develop. We get into conference play. We kept splitting series. And then finally against Memphis, we were able to get over the hump. The key message throughout that was we need to finish. We're right there at the finish line. We haven't finished. Finally at Memphis, we finish. Obviously, we had a few travel delays, got to hang out with each other a little longer than expected. And then we went to Wichita the following week, where once again we had a chance to finish, and we didn't. And I remember Riley Hogan speaking up on the bus on the way to the airport saying, gave a very loving, caring, brotherhood-type speech of this is why we play and this is who we play for. And the emotions on that bus were real. And once again, Wichita, we ended up driving to Dallas at 5 a.m. in the morning. And the following weekend, we actually were missed practice because of NCAA rules since we didn't get back before 5 a.m. So we didn't even get a practice going into the ECU series. We did not play very well on that Thursday. The guys turned the page and ended up winning on Friday and Saturday, and we got on a roll.
Got on a roll indeed, and to win gave a lot of confidence to beat a ranked team like East Carolina and the preseason favorite to get two games, and then knowing we're going in the conference match from there. Obviously, you know, when we get to conference play, you knew that was the only route to get into postseason was to win that whole thing. I'm curious, Billy, though, with your background as a great pitcher in your own right and coaching the pitching position and a head coach now, you know, you and I had some conversations throughout the year that the four-game series was really tough and maybe, you know, I don't know if we ever used the word mistake for our conference, but it was challenging. But I wonder, from your perspective, now looking back, did that help you and your staff and the players help get better ready for a postseason format when we have conference play and obviously regional play?
Yeah, I think the big part of that was we had to get creative and we had to use a piggyback system with some of our pitchers. So the Orion Kirkerings, the Logan Lyles, the Joey Sanchez's, we were able to go. Those guys were able to extend themselves. So come tournament play, when you got to eat up a lot of innings, those guys were prepared for it. Those four game weekends were tough. We didn't know how it was gonna pan out, but it was a benefit for us moving into the conference tournament and the regionals for sure.
in both tournaments, both the conference tournament and in the regional up in Gainesville, I was struggling. I mean, obviously, the key game, I assume, for all of us and for me was when you won that second winner's bracket game in both cases. And then in both cases to basically lose where you could have kind of lose that game. And I was always worried, oh, no, our guy's going to clutch up and pull through, like you said, with what happened in some of the games where we couldn't get over the hump. Both cases we did get over the hump. Kind of speaks to what you and the Riley Hogan speech kind of was like. And just tell us, how did you approach the team on both those circumstances when we knew we had to come back and win a winner-take-all type situation?
Well, we were in that situation a week before with Tulane. We're in the winner's bracket game. We go, we lay an egg. I think we got 10 run ruled in 8 innings against Tulane.
Ground ball up the middle, base hit, and that is your ball game. And after having a 5-1 lead in the fourth, the Bulls are run ruled here in Clearwater. 16-6 will be the final.
We went back to the hotel, showered. I met with the team, just said, we've been here before. Let's go out and just play our best baseball, and whatever happens, happens.
Bulls want them to be the last out of Tulane season, though. 1-2 again, and it's grounded. Gonzalez has it over there. Short, long throw, but he makes it! And the Bulls win! Bouncing back from a run rule defeat early in the day. Riding a tremendous performance from Brad Lord and a couple of long balls as well from Carmine Lane and Riley Hogan. And the Bulls will be playing for the American Athletic Conference Championship for the first time.
And so that was the same situation in the regional. You know, we were in the winner's bracket game. We get shut out 4-0 by South Alabama. It was the same exact speech I gave the week before. It was just go out and play for the guy next to you, and we'll be where we need to be at the end of it. And those guys bought in. The leadership on our team echoed that message from the top down. And there was not one sense of, you know, panic or stress. Like, they just went out and played. And you could see how loose they were and how much fun they were having playing the game.
You're right. I mean, I could sense the confidence seemed to just keep building day by day, and just a belief in each other and a belief in what they stand for. And it was awesome to see. So going back to Clearwater, we get to Championship Sunday. We're playing UCF, get off to a hot start.
This ball's hit the opposite way, and it's hit well to left. It's over Ruiz's head, and it's over the wall. It's out of here. Daniel Cantu, an opposite field two-run homer, and the Bulls have taken the lead in the championship game.
And obviously find a way to close it out. Just tell me, now that you've had a couple weeks to digest it, what winning your first conference title meant to you and the guys, and what was going through your head, and how do you look at it now?
I mean, it was incredible. You knew you had to get out to a good start, because you knew on the fifth game of a tournament, you know, your pitching was going to be light. And those we've asked a lot of those guys what Orion Kirkering did for us. That game was extraordinary, especially after pitching the night before.
Kirkering at the belt, the 0-2 check swing. He went, strike three, inning over. Orion Kirkering gets the Bulls within 3 outs of a conference championship. We're going to the ninth.
But to see those guys win in that atmosphere against their rival.
Fly ball, shallow right field. Cantu going in. He makes the catch. The USF Bulls are the champions of the American Athletic Conference at the expense of UCF. The Bulls are going to the NCAA tournament.
And watch them hold up the trophy and watch them dogpile and celebrate. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about those kids living out their dreams, their goals, and watching the smiles on their face and the joy that they had. That was the best part of that day.
It was awesome seeing the kind of dog piles becoming somewhat of a theme of your season, which was really, really great to see. Obviously, when we got to Gainesville, you find ways to overcome, not backing into any regional championship at all. You beat Florida outright, beat Miami outright, come back and ultimately beat South Alabama. It's so funny to look at these couple weeks now back, looking back even from my standpoint. There's so many historic moments now that you kind of look back that I've heard fans, our next guest Eric Jenkins, talks about when he's out at the Nationals with the track team. You know, we're playing Texas there too, and there's some discussions going on there about school pride and pride and that. But you know, the amazing Nicky Gonzalez is about to hit a home run. We're going to tie the game or move ahead. Kid makes an unbelievable play,
And Gonzalez actually turns to that ball pretty deeply. Wilson going back on it, still going back near the wall. And, oh, my God, he caught it. Oh, my God. Wilson just made an amazing catch to strip a home run from Nick Gonzalez.
And I'm sitting there saying, wow, is that going to be what – are we going to lose because of a great play on someone else? But no, you guys found ways to come up with that. Obviously, the great double by Jared Eaton.
Line drive toward the corner in right field. That is down, and it bounces over the wall, and the Bulls have tied this game.
What a great job by Eaton.
You come up with, I mean, maybe talk about the Sanchez move, because to me, obviously, that was when we're all getting a little bit nervous in the late innings of the South Alabama game, and you and Karsten make the right pitching moves, and talk about that and what went through your mind on that key shutdown.
I just think that whole line of events was, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it now. The play, any other team would be like, it's just not our day when they made that play on Nicky. Our guys respond. Jared Eaton was the hero of that whole tournament.
Hit sharply into right field. Base hit for Eaton. They're going to send Cantu. Here he comes. Bulls lead. Jared Eaton is 3 for 3.
I mean, battled injuries all year, and he's the one who's getting the clutch hits. You know, and Joey Sanchez emerged as Logan Lyle part two for us. We had every confidence in the world that he was going to go in and throw strikes and let our defense play. And that's what he is. He's a bulldog, and he wanted the ball.
And he takes something off. Swung on and missed strike three. Thank goodness. Heroic performance from Joe Sanchez. Get out of a big-time jam.
He deserved every bit of it. And then don't forget, Drew Brutcher comes in, haven't seen live pitching, and, you know, he hits a double in the gap to add that insurance run.
And Brutcher drives it into right field for a hit. Eaton gets a good turn at second base. It's bobbled out there. He still could score. They're going to send him around. There's no way that one's going to catch Eaton. And Drew Brutcher comes through.
I mean, it was just a crazy string of events. When a team's believing and they're on a roll, special things happen.
Special things happen indeed. A great picture underneath the Florida ballpark sign of us winning our first regional championship. It gives us a chance to go out to Texas, which obviously just an amazing atmosphere with all due respect to them. It was a great crowd, amazing consistency of their 10,000-plus crowd, and very baseball knowledgeable, knows everything about us. But just talk about your experience there and then come back to our end it with a couple magical moments as well with some key plays as well.
Yeah, you know, we went to Texas Tech earlier in the year, and that was probably the biggest crowd we played in front of all year up until we got to the Super Regional. We got into Texas's ballpark, we saw the size of it, and I told the guy, you can't prepare for that. The only way you can prepare is actually play in those games. And it was loud. Our guys had a hard time communicating with each other. I mean, that atmosphere was rocking. So I think the first couple innings, that first game, there's a little nerves working, but I think we settled in, and, you know, it took them the full 9 innings to finally get us. Drew Brutcher with the big, big homer there to tie it up in the 9th that will be remembered for a long time.
It's full 3-2. Witt to the plate. Fly ball hit pretty well toward right. Fair or foul? It's got home run distance. It's gone. Drew Brutcher has tied the game in the 9th. A 2-run homer. Bulls 3, Texas 3.
Yeah, that's part of the lore for sure.
Yeah.
The silencer. I just call it the silencer.
Yep. And, you know, I asked him, I saw the replay of it finally, and I saw him say something once he crossed home plate, and I said, Drew, what did you say? And he just goes, I just asked him why they're quiet now. I'm like, unbelievable.
Well, it was a special moment, great opportunity for them, and obviously just a dream deferred to when we get to our first College World Series. But now I think it shows them and shows you that it can be achieved here, and it comes with belief. And with the success that we had this year, Billy, it starts with caring, and your care for your players and for your staff is quite evident for our fans. Obviously it's been well documented on Kelly Caro and other things that you've done, your research and fundraising for cancer research. So to me, this year kind of came together, and it all starts because of the quality of person you are and the team that you've put together. And as I say in many cases, it starts with caring. When you care, others care. I saw the tears in the locker room of your team when we didn't advance. But again, if you're not crying, you didn't care enough. And they care deeply, and I know that they're determined to to for those that are coming back to take the next step, and for those that are leaving us, they've known they've been a part of USF baseball history that can never be taken away from them. So as we leave this segment, maybe just touch on, you know, now you've got a taste of it. What do you see for the future? What's the next steps for us going forward?
Obviously, that was a huge step for the program, huge step for the guys that are on our roster. We got most of our guys coming back, so they've had a taste of it. And once you get a taste of it, I've known this as a player. Once we got a taste of it, we actually knew what we were working. Everybody can talk about Omaha. Everybody can talk about that. Every team in the country breaks to Omaha after a workout. But when you're two games away and you can almost touch it, and those guys have been there, that's just a different dynamic now, where those guys, they believe in it. They believe they can get there and kind of break in that boundary. They finally broke through that boundary, and, you know, now it's on to next year. It's a bunch of the guys coming back. We got a, you know, top 30 class coming in recruiting-wise, and just keep building. You just got to keep building. At the end of the day, it's me making sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can for these kids, putting them in a good environment to lead them to success. And I'm a strong believer, if you treat people the right way, you do the right things, you take care of your guys, success will follow. It's not always on everybody's watch the way they want it, but things like this, there's no watch on it. You just got to keep building, keep doing the right things, and at the end of the day, you'll be where you need to be.
Well, that's extremely well said. And the only other thing I would say is that, having been able to see some of those crowds, and granted, we weren't able to have the crowds we normally would want because of COVID, but those restrictions are certainly going to be lifted next year. For our listeners out there, I just want to encourage us all with all of our sports, but particularly as we look forward to building on our baseball success, that as we put together the schedule that Billy puts together, where we already know the competitiveness of the American, you know, we need your support on season tickets. We need to bring back the atmosphere that can support our guys. They succeeded in with small crowds, but they succeeded in the heat of some of the best crowds in college baseball. But just maybe close with your message to the fans about, hey, this has been great. We appreciate their support, but how do we build this together with them?
I mean, in all honesty, there's no coincidence that we started playing better when we started getting into venues that had more crowds. Like Florida, it was full capacity. Clearwater, we had great crowd. I mean, when we won that championship and those guys got done dogpiling and we looked up over the first base dugout and saw all the Bulls fans finally come out of the shade because it was 95 degrees. But that was the guys, that's what they play for. They get the energy you guys can give to them. You know, that's when they want to play their best. So I can't wait till next year. I hope everybody comes out and supports this team. It's going to be another talented team. But we need a home field advantage. That's a big thing in baseball. Texas had that in the Super Regional, and it played in their favor. That's what we'd like here. You know, we need all your support. We appreciate everything you've done so far, but we need more of you out there in the stands cheering these guys on.
Well, that's what's going to happen. That's our next step as a fan base, to get behind all of our teams, and let's get out there and get some season tickets bought for baseball when they become available and have some fun out there. So, Billy, congratulations on a magical season. You've entered the history books in so many different ways, and we're just awfully proud to have you leading our baseball program here at USF.
I appreciate it.
That was head coach Billy Mall from our baseball program. We'll be right back with Bull Speed Ahead, joined by head coach of our track and field program, Eric Jenkins.
When it matters most, Tampa Bay turns to Tampa General Hospital. Named Tampa Bay's number one hospital for the fifth consecutive year and one of America's best hospitals in five specialties by U.S. News and World Report. Our strong collaboration with USF Health, Tampa General Medical Group, and private practice physicians makes this world-class care possible, even in challenging times. Tampa General Hospital. Other hospitals practice medicine. We define it.
We're back to Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly, presented by Tampa General Hospital.
Okay, so as our last episode of this year's Bull Speed Ahead continues, we are blessed to have Eric Jenkins join us, our head track and field coach, who's kind of, again, has helped us end a historic year for so many great championships and accomplishments. And Coach Jenkins, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on a great year.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, highlighted by a trip by many to the Nationals, and we'll start there because we'll go back to some of the other success that helped lead to that. But not being a track and field specialist myself, I stopped in eighth grade at cross country. But knowing even from that standpoint, and friends of mine that have always looked at the Hayward Field and the stadium out in Eugene as being in many ways like the mecca of track and field, and they've done some major renovations in recent years to rebuild the place. Tell us what it was like. Tell us what it was like for our student athletes that had a chance to that accomplished that feat of getting the Nationals. And just tell us about your whole trip out west to the national championship.
Well, the trip to Eugene is always interesting because it's long. You know,
there's no really easy way to get to Eugene.
No, not at all. So it is truly an all day affair. You know, we're excited because you're right. It is the mecca of track and field on U.S. soil. What they've done with that facility is absolutely outstanding. They'll be hosting the World Championships there next year as well. In the NCAA for many years to come, they'll kind of go back and forth with Texas and a few other places. But outstanding facility. Our kids were excited to be there. We took about 2 hours when we got out to just go to the track and walk around the facilities to get the oohs and ahs out, let them take a lot of pictures. And after that, it was time for business. You know, it's easy to get lost in a facility like that. Even though it wasn't at capacity, it was still loud. The fans were right on top of you, which was a very unique experience because in years past, it would be back off the track. But it really created a situation, like I tell people, if you've ever been to some of the really good basketball arenas in the country, like at Duke, everybody's right on top of you. And that's what it felt like. It felt like literally people on top of you. You could hear everything in that stadium. So we're excited to be there, looking forward to getting back for many, many years to come. But we know we've got a long way to go. But I believe in the gospel of South Florida.
Well, I believe we all believe and believe, that's for sure. And, you know, to get out there, obviously a lot of great steps had to happen. And looking at even after the season, what was accomplished there and throughout the season, you ended up having recognized 11 All-American honors, you know, by 8 different athletes, 6 on our women's side, 2 on our men. Just speak to their accomplishments. Talk about whether is that almost at a faster pace to get that many All-Americans than you envisioned when you took over, or I'm elated and happy and proud for those young men and women.
Well, I'm excited for them because when we went into this building process, we told everybody where we were and what we plan to do, and it was going to be a process. It wasn't going to happen overnight, and as you often say, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so for that young group of athletes to earn the trip to Eugene and get to perform in front of the best facilities and be able to compete against the best, that meant a lot. You know, that's going to bode well for us in the future because the majority of that group were freshmen or sophomores. So we expect for them to, you know, cherish that opportunity, but also come back and say, all right, well, we've seen it now. So how do we stay there consistently and be a factor at the national championship as well as within the AAC?
Well, it was enlightening to see all year long. It was like it was almost week by week a new record by whether the same relay team or a different one, and just kind of seeing that confidence build and obviously in performance develop over the course of the year, which speaks credits to their hard work and to you and your coaching staff. You know, one thing that a memory that comes to me that I was so impressed with that you could maybe speak to, because I think I spoke to you right after it happened. If I'm not mistaken, in the conference meet, it was our 4x100 that in essence would have won, but we had a default of some sort. But then to learn from that and then to come back the very next week at the regionals for mm-hmm. NCAA and win that event just kind of speaks to, again, learning, coaching, and performing under pressure. So just maybe speak to what went through that, what you tell the team at that point in time, and how does one overcome something like that?
Well, that's tough because we do have some very good teams in our league. And, you know, we knew we had to execute. I tell them day in and day out, execute your training. When we get to meet time, I am not there to be the rah-rah guy. I'm there to assist you in executing your training. That is it. And so in the conference meet, you know, there was we didn't quite execute our training. They didn't like it. They came back and won the 4x4, which was big for us at the end of that meet. But then to go on to the NCAA first round and have to compete against, again, a very, very loaded heat, for them to perform the way they did, that was very, very good in my opinion, especially because, you know, a lot of those teams have had people who've been there for 3 or 4 years together. So they beat some very senior teams and they beat some teams with people who have what you would call some of the all-stars of the sport. So in a relay, it's four people who have to get it done at that time. And so that's what makes relays special. And so we want to continue to learn from everything we do. And when they went to the NCAA championships, it's the same thing. They knew what they had to do. And I played a little conservative in some areas because it is the national championship. Having been there before, there's just some things you need to know. And we got the baton around. You know, we kind of blew up some zones, but that you can blame that on coach. They did what they were supposed to, but I was playing it safe. And in years to go, they'll be able to give me more impact. I mean, input as to, all right, coach, we think we can do this. Let's play it on the edge a little bit.
Loosen
but
up a little bit,
that's right. That's right. So they're learning and I'm learning. But that's the process of being able to get a culture where you can communicate with your athletes and they trust you and you trust them. So I was happy with the kids.
You spoke to her when we think about magical moments, and obviously with track and field, there's so many different events, but you alluded to that 4x4 conference championship team that we have. And that got that just the way in which that race occurred and kind of the, you know, we had a lead, lost it briefly, and then to the amazing rundown to for us to win that was got quite a few views because, you know, and now that we have ESPN Plus, we had that the whole meet was broadcast.
Hextall from USF. She can fly. Now Houston into the hands of Bethel.
Oh, how quickly a lead evaporates.
Breanne Bethel doing what she does best.
Can she maintain the inside?
Hextall giving chase. Hextall making up ground coming into the final turn. Hextall on the outside. Bethel and Hextall. Hextall pulls ahead. And Janisa Hextall will bring it home for USF.
Talk about that one, because to me, outside of the great accomplishments of a moment of what was captured on video for our fans to see, that was a pretty magical moment for this year's team.
Yeah, that was one that, you know, I was standing on about 250 meters, and, you know, we tell them, everybody knows that we want to run well at the end of the meet. Make no mistake about it. We knew the team we had to beat. And they'd done a good job, and they put the young lady had run very well early in the day, and our young lady had run pretty well early in the day, and it just came down to who wanted it. And she executed the race plan, and, yeah, that was big. I mean, I get excited about that one because, you know, you want to be in that situation, and we want to be in that situation when we're trying to win championship. If it comes down to the end of the meet, and that's how we got to win it, we want to be in play. But, you know, Miss Hextall did a very, very good job running against a very, very quality 400-meter runner who actually had won the open 400 that day. So those were two very good athletes vying for that relay title at the end of the meet. So that was – yeah, you can't script those. That was good.
And for the normally stoic Eric Jenkins, if I recall correctly, when I see where your mark was, and it did seem to see a little more animation out of you when you saw what was about to happen.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. like I said, it just – I was betting on the Bulls, put it that way. And I figured if we were close, I didn't think she would give up. And, again, if you beat us doing it the right way and a outstanding performance and – we had to beat a very, very good team to win that relay. And I think for us as a team moving forward, that shows that we can compete in this league. We've got a long way to go, but it shows we're also willing to compete in this league. And that means more to me than anything else.
Well, major steps forward. Obviously, we spoke about the 11 All-Americas. You talked about Miss Hextall's great closeout. Not to point out anyone in particular because there are a lot of great performers, but you've got a special freshman in Shania Benjamin who accomplished many great marks for us as a school and school records, All-America honors. Speak a little bit toward her and maybe a little bit how the recruiting process went with her and how you first got to know Shania.
Well, when I came here, you know, we obviously want to recruit the Tampa Bay area. Make no mistake. If there's a kid here, we want to be able to talk to him about the University of South Florida. I mean, we want to keep good kids here that want to be here. And she was our very first recruiting trip off campus as a staff. And we went and sat around a big table, and I think we shocked her that we were there. She often says they scared me when they walked in. You know, we knew she had ability. And she was a big get for us from the very beginning. And she has had a tremendous freshman season, but as I told her before, I said, this is great. But the sophomore, junior years really show who you are. And you've got to buckle down and you've got to keep working the same way you worked this year, even harder, and be more disciplined. And I think she has a bright future ahead of her. I mean, you know, traveling around the country and people saying, where'd you get that one from? You know you've done a good job when they coaches ask you, where'd you get that one from? And she is fearless. She will go out and compete against anybody. She listens. And, you know, that's what you want to have. And we've got quite a few other ones like that. I think that young group went through a lot this year, as a lot of other people did with COVID and learning the system. But I believe that we'll continue to move forward, and she'll be a catalyst to some of the things we're doing. She is one of the cornerstones. We have a few other ones, but she's definitely one of the cornerstones of our success as we move forward.
Well, that's great to hear, and obviously the whole Bay Made aspect of it makes it that much more special to have one of the cornerstones be right here,
right,
blossoming before our very, very eyes. Before I let you go, obviously the great momentum and trajectory that we're on is evident. More to go, and we'll all work on that together with you. But talk about your staff. You put together, obviously, no coach does it by themselves, and you've put together a great staff. And just maybe speak to them and how you've come together through a very challenging year with COVID and everything else as well.
Well, I do have a good staff. You know, the elder statesman of the staff is Coach Don Marsh, who we often talk to. It's really good to just sit and talk to him about his history here, his history in coaching from the high school level to beyond. And he has a different perspective that works well for all of us as we try to continue to mold young people. And then you've got, and obviously he had a young man, Mr. Stone Baker, at the NCAAs this year, which continues his success in that particular event group. And then Coach Romero Henry, who's done a really good job for us in the jumps, and having one of the best freshmen in the country and one of the best athletes in the long jump in the country. That was big for him. And to finish 10th because the long jump competition this year was amazing, period. There's no other way to put it. That was extremely competitive. And what Shania did and her and Coach and their communication style, that was big. And so he's done a really good job. And then Coach Griffiths has done a good job with our distance crew, bringing them along and trying to establish a culture of success there. And then Coach MK, she's done a good job of being able to start recruiting and seeing the type of talent we need here to be successful in the league. And then Coach Adeen has done a really good job of bringing along our hurdlers. We talked about Ms. Hextall earlier in the year and her being able to win the conference championship, you know, set records. And then Ms. Davila, who's had an equally as impressive year for us as a hurdler, has done a good job. I mean, we've recruited some pretty good hurdlers. So, you know, their success is bringing other people of higher caliber to our program. And then I enjoy working with them all. We really complement each other, and they have a very, very unique perspective from each of them and where they've been, their successes, and even our volunteer coaches. I mean, you look at Coach Kia Dean, another very, very good coach. And for her to being able to help us continue to communicate what we need to do, and the young ladies and young men look up to her and what she understands about the sport. And then Coach Lawrence, our volunteer throws coach, who's one of the better throwers in the world right now and hit the A standard for the Olympics a while back. And so, you know, when we're talking to people, we're saying, hey, you've got good people around you here if you want to be good. It's up to you to choose this outstanding institution that we're trying to give an opportunity to get education from. And then just try to be a part of a consistent change in a positive way. So got a good staff. They're doing a really, really good job. And I expect them to continue doing that. And we want to bring in young people who are excited about the University of South Florida and who want to go out and help us establish this program as one of the premier programs in the country. It won't happen overnight, but we will do our best to put forward a sustainable product.
Well, Coach, the congratulations on a great year. The progress is evident. The whole concept of bull speed ahead is more apparent than ever under your leadership. And just grateful for you being here and excited about what you'll do. And the exciting thing is, as many things that I got accomplished this year, I think it's quite evident that the best is still yet to come for USF track and field and cross country. And looking forward to that continued success.
And if I could add one other thing, you know, you talk about my staff, but also the different staffs within the athletic department. It's been good to see Coach Mole have the success he's having and being able to have conversations with him on how you're being successful. You know, you talk about Erickson. I mean, that's another person that is a pillar of what we want to do here at South Florida, and Denise and her successes and throughout the program. You see good coaches who are doing good things, and that's exciting to be around. And as a coach, you want to be able to talk to good coaches. And they get me excited. I heard Billy's interview here, and I was sitting over there going, man, hey, I would love to have been in there when the kid says whatever and just getting excited, you know. But being able to support other programs, you know, I've tried to make, you know, the ones I could make, and that's exciting to see everybody trying to get on the same page. And it's a good time to be a Bull, and, again, why not? Why not us?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, as we look at all of our coaches, the more we can develop, each of you have your own program, but the more we can continue to build this family atmosphere, this idea of, you know, 19 sports, one team type of a concept is evident, and that's going to happen when we share more with each other and we right. continue to respect and appreciate success. But this year of 2021, with all we've overcome with COVID, and we've all been talking all year long about how we not only try to survive but to thrive now. We want a lot of success doing that, and now we all want to come out of it even stronger and better and moving forward. So thanks for being a big part of that and for being a great teammate with all of your peers as well.
All right, thank you.